Father, Son, Mother, Moon, how was your union blessed? Golden cock, silver hen, what was the egg in your nest? Lord of day, lady night, is the babe in your arms the earth? Father, Son, Mother, Moon, do you now regret its birth? Hermes invented the harp and gave it to Apollo, who thereby became god of music. Apollo, in gratitude, gave the golden wand to Hermes, who thereby became messenger of the gods. The two have been good friends ever since. Hail to Apollo and Hermes, attend us here. But let us not forget the angels and Saint Cecilia. The harp is capable of such ineffable sounds that it has always been played by the heavenly host. But the harp is also down to earth. It is said that the harp is such a female instrument that only a man can really play it. Put your arms around me, she says. Rest my head on your shoulder. Cradle me in your thighs. Run your fingers over me. Pluck me. Play all you feel. Besides, what other girl has 7 feet to play with? She is not only down to earth, she can even be low down. Poet has a harder time getting hold of his muse. When he wants her most, she isn't there. Or suddenly in the middle of the night, she'll jump on him screaming when he least expects it. But once all poets played the harp, and once poets were singers too. Once kings and generals kept poets at their sides to remind them of eternal things. But nowadays, poets are on faculties, and governments are at the mercy of bad prose. However, for 1 hour here, let us strike the ancient chords and ring the lyric bell. While men can still sing of life and death, the world goes passing well. So, to begin, I'd like to tell you a little fable about paradise. This is a minuet of the tigers taking a bath in the heavenly gardens. The tigers were taking a bath in the midsummer garden of God. The lions had suspended their wrath to loll on seraphic sod. The serpent had curled up his tongue and was picnicking under the tree where the vulture angelically swung, bouncing a ball on his knee. And God saw that it was good, though not surprising. But the humans arrived in alarm to find paradise set up so wrong. They tidied the trespassers' harm and bounced those who did not belong. They retuned the tiger to roar, reinfected the serpent's kiss. Of the lion they requested fresh gore, and offered the vulture their bliss. And God saw that it was good, though not surprising. And now for our first group together, Mr. Andrews and I are going to do something rather elementary. We get into voice and strings. A group of poems that I call Songs for Anxious Children. They come from my book, Musical Chairs, a songbook for anxious children. Mr. Andrews has arranged and composed, devised all the musical settings for this program, for the poetry. The first of these is The Little Reader's First Riddle. Where did the humans come from? Where did the humans jump from? And how did I get here so small? Though everyone somehow arrived in it, the world keeps on adding up odd. If one and one make always two, can one and one make one at a time? And what's the connection with God? Now, where did the humans jump from? And how did the humans fall? Though everyone lands on a mom and pop, there's a hitch to a family tree. If two together have to marry, there's one from two leave one to carry, and what is a stork to me? Now where do the humans come from? What are the humans sprung from? And how did I get here at all? Next, we have a song about Papa. Papa has a pig. Papa has a pig, and a big pig, too. Papa plays a piggy toe that I can't do. Oh, Papa has the biggest pig you ever did see. He gave only 10 little piggies to me. Papa has the star of all the swine. Papa shines stern in the sty. Papa goes to market and I stay home. Papa doesn't tickle his toes all alone. Oh, Papa has the fattest pig you ever did feel. My 10 little piglets just pinch and squeal. Papa has the star of all the swine. Papa shines stern in the sty. Papa has a pen, and a big pen, too. Papa rides a piggyback that I can't do. Oh, Papa stands out in the pig feet race. My 10 little wiggles don't go anyplace. Papa has the star of all the swine. Shine, Papa, shine in the sty. This is a funny looking thing. Get rid of it. And now one for Mother. This is a very special mother. This is called Mrs. Mother Has a Nose. What a big nose Mrs. Mother has, the better to smell her dear. sniff, 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 it comes round the door, detective of everything queer. Two big noses Mrs. Mother has, the better to quell her dear. I smell something odd, I smell something bad. What is that smell in here? Three big noses Mrs. Mother has, they grow and grow in the night. Sniff, sniff, sniff her naughty, naughty dear, and she also can smell with her ears. And next, another kind of poem about Mother. But this time, Mother is absent. Oh, little lace collar of the neck squeeze size, how ugh is the fear of the bug-bug trail. And Mama is gone, gone on ahead to the marvelous Mahjong game. Oh, little squeak shoes on the pinchy tiptoe, how long is the run through the tick-tock dark? And Mama is gone, gone on ahead to the marvelous Mahjong game. Oh, little velvet pants squirming in the dismal, how far upstairs can the pot be put? And Mama is gone, gone on ahead to the marvelous Mahjong game. Next we have Junior's Prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord to help me out. I'm flat on my back and left alone, so God bless nobody. Please keep out. If I should die and fall asleep, how will I run away from home? If I should wake before I die, will I still be in the dark alone? Now I lay me down to sleep, but keep me awake, Lord, keep me awake. And the last of these is a little song by the Parson's Son. I don't like his looks, and he don't like me, but I'm a cowboy now, and so is he. So I'm gonna get my gun and go shoot Jesus. I'm gonna shoot Jesus before he shoots me. Pop says it's something you mustn't ever do, that you can't shoot Jesus, 'cause he's in heaven. And you don't go to heaven until you die, and you don't ever die till the right time, too. But I'm a tough cowboy, I'll be tougher than he, and we'll fight this matter out for all to see. I'm gonna get my gun and go shoot Jesus. I'm gonna stop Jesus before he stops me.
They were to have a wedding in the Napa Valley, in the barn. short introduction, the theme, five variations, and the theme again.
Thank you.
I said that bards reminded people of eternal things, so therefore I'm on the spot. I have to play the part. So the most eternal statement I thought I could make today was to tell you how everything started. In the beginning was the bird, and the bird was with Big Papa, and they lived together at the top of the sky, where Big Papa spent all his time making stars and pitching them out the window. "Listen, Dad," said the bird one day, "you ought to get out more often. This astronomy project is mighty important, but don't you ever get bored or lonesome?" "Listen, bird," said Big Papa, "I'm a poet and I'm working for posterity. After a hard day creating, I'm perfectly content to curl up with a new space fiction." Well, the bird was bored. He wanted a holiday. So he packed a lunch from the larder, a piece of Sunday roast, a jug of moonshine, and quite a bit of divinity fudge, and he sneaked out the back door. Now, there was nowhere to go but down, so down he flew, until he came to the old lake of chaos, where he saw, lying on the warm banks, a serious virgin mermaid named Mary Baker Pangloss. Bird hailed her gracefully, and she sat up amazed. She had great respect for anything over her head, and she'd never seen such a bird before. In fact, Mary had never seen much of anything. She told the bird how hungry she was for a fuller life. "Have you an appetite for higher things?" said Bird, and he offered her his picnic lunch. Mary was thrilled to have something heavenly to sink her teeth into. Oh, it was divine, but very filling. It gave her a tummy ache. Indeed, she didn't feel well for months after, because she began to swell. She swelled up until she thought she would burst, and then suddenly she did. And out came an egg, the lumpy, pockmarked egg of the world. "Isn't it pretty?" said Mary Baker Pangloss. "It's surely the best of all possible eggs. And what's more, it's mine." When Big Papa heard about the whole affair, he was absolutely furious. He said, "That little bastard is going to cause me a lot of trouble." Back. I have to go get my script. I'll be right. Now, Mr. Andrews and I are going to do a sea cycle. This is a group of various kinds of poems, experiences, conversations, meditations, and visions, things I've written while living beside the sea in recent years. I would like to make it clear that they do not take place out on the sea or at some distance above looking over it. They take place at the awesome division between the sea and the land. Mr. Andrews has devised the musical settings, the sea cycle. A see how deep things are. Oh, said she, that depends upon how far you want to go. Well, I have a sea in me, said I. Do you have a me in you? Oh, look, said the sea, but that's apt to go rather deep. And she broke a wave over my foot. What comes in will always go out, and what goes out comes in again. My in goes out, my out goes in, both in and out are me. My in's as big as all outdoors, and all as small as me. Why are you so restless? Said I to the sea. I'm calmer than you, said she. The wind and the moon like to toss me about, but myself I do nothing at all. I accept whatever comes, and everything comes to me. How do you manage that? Said I. Oh, she replied, I have rather a good digestion. Wonder of windowsill, wind to the wandering heart blowing, wonderful, a view from an elbow of the folded world unfolding. A view from this windowed eye, these eyes unfolded on all the world blown to dancing in the wind of wonder of the breathtaking view of our breather in heaven. Let's talk of my dead, the sea said. Let's not, said I. I'm dry on my doom. But what of the drowned, the sea boomed. They're ghosts I know, said I on my sand, as I know my own doom. Then said the sea, when I wash up the dead, will you wade in? I'll swim, I said. Let me be, said the ant to the sea. You're much bigger than me, and I will drown in your watery gown unless I walk carefully. Ant, listen to me, replied the sea. Though your path looks small, would you walk there at all if it weren't for me? Metaphysically, that's true, said the ant to the blue. Then don't forget, when you get me wet, that I also gave birth to you. When the fog lifted, I went out to gather driftwood. Over my head, a seagull was carrying a sardine can. Upon the mountain, the sea is a view. Down here on the sand, I view the mountain. Which is the better view? I peeked at the sea, and the sea peeked me. What a lot of rustle tussle, swish wash and spitty boom. Why can't the sea relax and be as simple, say, as A or B? With which, that angry, ugly, hokey-pokey girl named Lulu Bell O'Connor from Yuba City took a tuck in her tickle pin, hitched her middle up higher than usualdom, and tripped herself back to very dry land in a huff bundle. She never went to sea again. No, not she. She stuck her needle deep in the hay, determined to stay perfectly content with B or A. Cried the sick bone lying on the beach. Embrace me, O sea. Heal me with your lips. Take me in. Take me deep. Melt me in your mouth. Dissolve my brittle armor and my dried up heart. Cried the sick bone lying on the beach. O great devourer, swallow me profoundly. Return me anew to the marrow dung of time. I want my second birthright, my immortality, cried the sick bone lying on the beach. What is burning in the deep, far below the floating sail? What is burning in the waters, down, down within the whale? What is burning in the deep? Far below the rolling wave. What is smoldering in the ashes of Poseidon's blackened grave? What is burning in the deep? From Atlantis's farewell. What is flaming to be harrowed from the ocean's salty hell? What is burning in the deep that churns the breakers with desire? What new creature? What new city? What new godhead is afire? I heard in the shell all the hymns of hell. I heard all the angels. I heard the earth in pangs of birth, and all the galaxies dying. I heard in the shell the resounding well of all humanity's voices. I heard every shout of laughter and doubt in the crashing war of choices. I heard in the shell the throb of each cell from flower and rock and feather. But loudest of all rang the quiet call of yes and know, singing together. Now we are going to do a love set. This is a group of love lyrics, or loving-like lyrics, that I call Songs for Certain Amorists. The first one is a wedding song. The wedding song of old Uncle Ovid. Merry fine lads grow fewer each day, and the sturdy ones make haste to wed. So it's far between and it's way round about to meet your specially well-met fellow. It's far between and it's way round about to meet that one special fellow who will row you away in a strong houseboat, who will row past the land of the dead. Good, pretty girls grow older each day, and the shrewd ones take the first to wed. So it's hit or miss, but keep a sharp lookout for that one seaworthy pillow. It's hit or miss, but keep a sharp lookout for that one The route to wedding treasure doesn't go an easy map through the zigzag forest of the heart. The way to any wedding doesn't take a ready road through the bumpy hills of desire. But the moon keeps its honey hot, The moon keeps it in a pot of gold. The moon keeps its honey in a pot of gold. The honey in the moon runs hot, hot, hot. The next one is The Clever Troubadour of Amaret County. Happiest am I when my Ada is most tongue-tied and her derry-dell bushes bulge fat with birds. For then I can whistle as fine as any Shelley, be full of fancy talk without spelling out the words. Prettiest is Beulah when she is most illiterate and her berries are baked all sweet into pies. For then I go courting as slick as any Byron, I rollick foolish talk and feel I'm sitting very wise. Temptingest is Cleo when all has struck her dumbest and her starchy wash hangs all white on the lines. For then I sing niftier than any old Shakespeare. With a mouthful of kisses, I write my valentines. I'm the poetical winner of the boy and girl chase, for delicate crazy is my hometown. And next, the story of the girl with the beady black eye. She was my honey baby, she sure was my delight with her beautiful beady black eyes. I met her in Modesto in the middle of the night when the old hotel burned down. Her name was Ida Lee, she stood blushing in a fright with her beautiful beady black eyes. She had come from San Francisco just to spend the night, but the old hotel burned down. In her lace and pinky nightgown, she looked a rosy sight with her beautiful beady black eyes. I saved her from the flames in the middle of the night when the old hotel burned down. She is still my honey babe, though her hair is turning white with her beautiful beady black eyes. In our San Francisco home, we often laugh about the night when the old hotel burned down, when the whole town burned to hell. Next we have Psyche to Cupid, her ditty. Come dally me, darling, dally me with kisses, loiter me with lingers while the aromes all burn. Oh, carouse me, my ducky, oh, tousle my wishes, I will overabundantly romp in return. Sing, nimble, sing careless of impulsive exuberance, sing loud the disgraces of exuberant love. The skies can roll downhill for all I shall care if you'll rumple my willingness, tempting and sweet. Come loll me, oh dally me thoroughly rare, I will romp and reward you a comparable treat. Sing nimble, sing careless of impulsive exuberance, sing loud the disgraces of exuberant love. And the last in this group is a little fantasy called The Goodnight Dream of Buffalo Bill. As far, far up as any holy truth can fly, I will toss my best cap, my saddle and spur. Up upon the blue meadow where wild angels roam, I will unrope my heart and lasso the sky. It's way out in that open, above time and weather, I shall find us the perch of a model high home. For there roosts the dream that I'm meaning to live, in the wondrous wide bed on the lap of God. Love is a red-letter bird, my dear. Love is a red-letter bird. So good luck and goodbye to cold swans in the bush, for till judgments add up and all kingdoms come, the hope of the heavenly wing boils down to the dove that nests handy and hot to the touch. So come, let's light out with the sun and the moon for our long afterlife up in Paradise Town. In the dream that I dream, I am meaning to live in the wondrous wide bed on the lap of God. Love is a red letter, four-letter word, my dear. Love is a four-letter word. Let's do the water circle after this, we're running late. Now we're going to do what I call my State College poem. That is because it was commissioned by the Poetry Center. A couple of years ago, I believe, when Mr. Cheville presented a festival of poetry and asked me to do something with Mr. Andrews. And I took the word festival very seriously. Well, I take words seriously. I suppose that's something that distinguishes poets. I get distressed when things are called festivals and everything is so lugubrious that you go to see. So I wrote this time, rather than asking Mr. Andrews to compose to me, I composed to him. He played a beautiful jig by Corelli, which I was enchanted with. So I set these words to that music. This is quite a thing to do. It's fun, but it's quite a discipline. The poem is called The Water Circle, and in it I wish to celebrate the circulation of the waters of the world. It is dedicated to Lao Tzu. Down and up they go, the waters that always flow, the rivers that open their veins to the sea and then return as snow. Down from arterial hills, their circulation spills, the heart of the lake refills, and down in the valley the river will sing as it refreshes everything, high and low, fast or slow, from head to toe, scenery, machinery, and makes the poppy grow. It wakens a sleeping tree, it sets the salmon free, and then flows down and down through field and town to drown in a briny shroud and resurrect into a cloud. From brook to hurricane, the changing waters remain. They freeze and flood and evaporate and then return in rain. The generous torrent pours green gifts on all outdoors, uplifts the reservoirs, and out of the faucet the river will run as it refreshes everyone, high and low, friend or foe, from head to toe, swashing in or washing out, and helps the baby grow. It lubricates the blood, it moves the human mud, and then descends and ends inside the tide to lay in the ocean's hand the sacrifices of the land. Oh, there's a time when streams run dry and every road blankets in dust, when ponds are parched with alkali, leaving the trout nonplussed, when there's an oven in the sky that blackens the meadow's crust, and when in drought the only wet is tear or sweat and old souvenirs of rust. But down again they'll flow, the waters that come and go, the rivers that bubble their bounty away and send it back in snow. Leaping from mountain heights, the juice of heaven unites all living appetites. And down in the valley it gurgles along, liquidating right and wrong, high and low and status quo, from head to toe, reveling in leveling and making apples grow. Up and down it comes and goes and dies in the bed of the sea. Up it snows and down it flows. And so it shall always be. Come to the most profound part of the program. However, I am certain you will all understand it easily, as I am sure this is a highly enlightened audience and campus. Besides, Zen has become a household word. We call this group of Zen-inspired songs All About It. Whether the result is sense or nonsense depends upon you. In any case, it is affectionately dedicated to Alan Watts. The first song is called Those Old Zen Blues, or After the Seminar. It's not because it is, it's not because it isn't. It is because it is, because it's not at all. In Zen, you can't yen for anything, since nothing can be had. When nothing is real in reality, nothing is good or bad. There's nothing in heaven, nothing in hell, and nothing is what I am. Something is where it always was, but it doesn't give a damn. It's not because it is because it isn't. It isn't because it's not because at all. The life I think I ought to live is just a thought in my head. I ought to throw my thoughts away and believe in nothing instead. There's nothing where I start from, and nothing I comprehend. Unless I get enlightenment, I'll be nothing in the end. It isn't there because it's there, it's there because it isn't. It's where it is because it is, and not because it isn't. The next one is called Round Table. It's all in your head, the first man said. It's all in your heart, said another. It's all in your stars, said the man with scars. It's all in your guts, said his brother. It's all in your soul, said the man who was slow. It's all in your balls, said the fast one. It's all in your things, said the fellow with rings. It's in no thing at all, said the last one. Next, a piece called How She Got With It, or Happy Satori to You, a Fable. She was a cat who was doing all right, just as she was, with this and that, just being her both day and night, the way as she does. Until one year, on her birthday too, she heard a big thought bellow in her ear. What is it? Why is it? And what does it do? The noise kept her awake. She was losing her sleep. So she asked an old he whose nose was sharp, a dog with a beard who played the harp and whose mind was deep. What is it? Where is it? And what should I do? Said he at once, you may think the answer to such a thought is as simple as singing a song, but it's not. For it isn't just yours or any other she's. It's very seldom theirs or what they please. It's not even its, you see. It's how you stayed in, and it's while you were out. It is nowhere, anywhere, and everywhere about. And that is because if it ever was, it can only become what it already is. Oh, really, said she, don't be so silly. What is all this to me? This, said the dog, is the cure for the blues. This is called discovering the feet in your shoes. It's over my head, said the cat with a wail. No, it's not, said the dog, and bit her tail. Ow, she yowled and scratched his cheek. Hooray, he replied, have you found what you seek? She jumped in his lap and purred in his heart. The question wasn't anything deep. The answer has finally hit me. I was right all along. It's as simple as a song. It's the tale of the dog that bit me. And curling up there inside his beard, she went snugly back to sleep. Next is something I wrote for any Zen monastery that wants it, for instruction purposes. This is called a Zen Catechism. Is this it? Here now, this here now it is now it this here, here it now is this, is it here this now, now is here this it. Is this now it here? This now here is it. Next, we have a Zen spiritual. This is called Buddha Land. I hear the happy sound of one hand clapping, that old hand clapping, that big hand clapping. I hear the happy sound of one hand clapping all the way to Buddha Land. Koan baby, don't you cry, don't you cry. Koan baby, don't you cry. There's a great big emptiness waiting for everyone, open to everyone, big enough for everyone. A great big emptiness waiting for everyone when you get to Buddha Land. Koan baby, don't you cry, don't you cry. Koan baby, don't you cry. There's a big bodhisattva dishing out enlightenment, serving up enlightenment, feeding you enlightenment. A big bodhisattva dishing out enlightenment when you get to Buddha Land. Koan baby, don't you cry, don't you cry. Koan baby, don't you cry. And the last of these is a metaphysical drinking song called Here's to It. Here's to that thing we won't admit. Here's to the omnipresent it. Here's to the it in which we sit and stand and walk and laugh and spit. It's in every act that we commit. It's our inescapable requisite. Here's to the it, our benefit, that makes the world immediate. It is the cloth most finely knit, it's all of a piece but composite. It is the suit with the perfect fit, it always includes its opposite. It's not a mechanical counterfeit, it's much older than Holy Writ. It's not the device of a Jesuit, it's a metaphysical hunting kit. It's infinitely definite and definitely infinite. And it's always here, so here's to it. And all it says is submit to it. This is it, and I am it, and you are it, and so is that, and he is it, and she is it, and that is that. Oh, it is this, and it is thus, and it is them, and it is us, and it is here, and it is now, and here we are, so this is it.